Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I am being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's our school of prayer again today. Let's just read two portions of the scriptures. The book of Matthew chapter 14. Let us start with that. Matthew chapter 14. I'll just jump down to verse 25 because we have read it many times. Or verse 24. It said the boat was already a long distance from the land. He told them to go to the other side. And the boat was battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." He spoke against their fear. And there is a word of God for your fear all the time. They cried out in fear, but he spoke against the fear. He said, "Take courage. Don't respond to fear. Receive courage." And listen to me, when God speaks something like that, it's not counsel. It's not advice. It's not simply try and be courageous. It was receive courage. I don't know whether I get my point. You know, this morning I was dropping my son in school. As he was coming down, I had to drop the younger ones in another school. I told him, "Have a nice day." He said, "Thank you." I said, "My friend, come back. Have a nice day. Say amen." He said, "Amen." Good, you can go. I don't know whether you get my point. He thought it was a greeting. I told him, "Have a nice day." It wasn't a greeting. "You're my son. I'm telling you, I'm giving you something for the day." The boy was coming down and was telling me, "Thank you. Thank me for what?" I said, "Come back and say amen." I said, "Have a nice day." He said, "Amen." I said, "Good, now you can go to school. You receive..." I pray we understand some of these things. These are not greetings. Stop greeting your children. God gave them... Do you understand my point? God gave them to you to bless them. Which one is greeting? Your son is going to say bye-bye. What is bye in the bye? Tell him, "Have a safe journey. It will be well with you." Yeah. Don't tell your child bye-bye. Bye-bye, bye-bye. Tell him, "Have a safe journey. It will be well with you." He's going to school. "Have a good day." It's not a greeting. It's a prophetic word. I pray we understand these things. God doesn't give advice. Anytime he says something, when he says to that woman, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." It wasn't advice. You see, if you do, they catch you. I may not be around that day. I may not be there to deliver you. I'm warning you, don't do it again. No, that was not it. What he said is that, "Neither do I condemn you. Now, receive the ability to sin no more." What that woman should say is, "Amen." "No, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir." One day, you know, a friend of mine, he said he was going to go for Holy Communion in the Catholic Church. So I told him that they are going to catch you. He said, "No, they won't catch me." I said, "Okay, when the Reverend Father says, 'Body of Christ,' what do you say?" Those of you who are Catholics, you know what you are supposed to say. He said, "When the Reverend Father says, 'Body of Christ,' what do you say?" He will say, "Thank you." The Lord is good. Those of you know that is the most ridiculous thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? For those who don't know, you're supposed to say amen. Alright, yes. Okay, this guy's like, okay, you don't know. You don't have a background there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So that woman was supposed to say to the Lord Jesus, "Amen. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." It's spiritual ability. It's an impartation. When your child is going, stop saying bye-bye. "Oh, bye-bye, I'll miss you. I miss you. Miss you too." It's good though. "This I'll miss you." When did this start? When I was a child, I can't remember my mother telling me. We keep on learning these things. So let's learn some new ones. Let's create, they say Christian culture. There's a culture of Christianity. We taught that, was it 2 years ago here? What name of the series? The Kingdom Life. Yes. The Kingdom Life. In that Kingdom Life, I tried to explain that there's a culture of Christianity. How we greet is a culture. When the Jewish man tells you shalom, that means peace and prosperity. And that's what Jesus said when you get to a house, say, peace upon this house. If I'm getting to a house for the first time, or if I come to visit, I tend to say that. If it's my first time there, I hardly ever forget. My first time in your house, as I'm stepping, I'll say, peace be upon this house. That's Christian culture. Not how in a day for here. Look, I'm not supposed to be asking questions. When you get to the house, you declare peace upon the house. There's something that follows you about as a child of God. It's called peace. Jesus said to disciples, my peace I give to you. To let you know, he was not the only one that had it. When he was sending them out, he said, when you get to a house, say to the house, peace be upon this house. He said, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest there. There is something in your hand. It's called peace. One of my old messages is titled The Peace of God. Go and listen to it. The peace of God. It's a tangible substance. It's something you can give to somebody. Christian parents, learn to give it to your children. You give it to them. They are going to school. Say to them. Oh God, my message today, I'll get down to it, but this is so sweet. I'm enjoying this one already. Listen, let's remember, that's what we're supposed to do as believers. God taught Israel, this is how you do it. If you read that Numbers chapter 6, you can write it down. Don't bother opening to it. It's a very famous, a very popular portion of the Bible from verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. Say to the children of God, this is how you bless your children. I'm adding words to it now. Say to the parents who are believers in Christ, this is how you will bless your children. You shall say to them, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. He said, verse 27, very important. He says, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel. I then will bless them. Do you get my point here? So they will invoke my name. How do they do it? They open their mouth and utter words. That's why I greet people. It is well with you. If you've greeted me recent times, you are going, I say, I will tell you it is well with you. Like I said, don't bounce it back. Don't say, and you too. That's how people deflect blessings. Don't bounce it. Say amen. Say amen. It's very important we learn this. Back to our message, all right? I know why I digress from that. Don't forget, it's a message for parents especially. I think that my message today is especially for parents. All of you, whether you are a parent now, you will soon be one, or you are going to be a parent, learn it. You have people who are younger than you, people you can speak into their lives, learn it. Stop telling people, bye-bye. Bye-bye has passed away. Tell the fellow, it shall be well with you. Go in peace. I will see you later. That is, you won't die. I will see you. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
You will return in peace. Your younger brother is traveling. You escort him to the park. As the vehicle is taking off, don't tell him bye-bye. No. Have a safe journey. No, we all say safe journey. Now, let's modify it so that it will have force. Tell him, have a safe journey. Tell her, have a safe journey. When you utter words like that, or the Lord go with you. Are you getting my point? When you utter words like that, God is saying, you are invoking my blessing upon the people. Then I will protect them. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes,
I will protect them. I will keep them. Your child is going to school, boarding house. Make sure you do well. Take care of yourself. Eat your food regularly. That's not the last thing you tell the fellow. You invoke a blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? You invoke a blessing. The Lord bless you. In my absence, the Lord will continue to keep you. His angels will watch over you. The Lord will make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord will lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. God says, if you say that, I myself will come and watch over them. Back to where I began the message from. They were afraid and cried out in fear. That's Matthew chapter 14. In verse 27, Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." It's not a greeting. You understand what I'm saying? They were crying out in fear. This was the cure for their fear. He was uttering a word to them. This is a Christian response. I receive courage. Do you understand my point? When the Lord said, "Take courage, it is I," say, "I receive courage." Amen. Courage is mine. It's a spirit. A spirit of boldness enters into you. Very important. Don't ever forget that thing. Now let's continue with our reading. Then Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Then he took his attention away from the Lord, in verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now let me stop here. We'll continue from where we were last time. You know, I said we're going to read two portions, right? Let's just read that one, Exodus chapter 20. You know, when I was young those days, praise the Lord, I just remember when we were going back to school, I was running university then. My mother would take us to a good man's house, not a bad man, a true man of God. Before we leave, she said, "Come, let's go and see Pastor. Well, let's go and see Daddy," they used to call him. "Man is as pastor to be with the Lord now. Let him pray for you." Initially, when I was younger, I said, that's my first year, second year, I said, I will say no problem. Of course, I couldn't object. Now, see, they were asking my opinion. It was like, "Hey, if I enter the car, let's go somewhere." It wasn't like, we'll go. Then when I was going to my third year university, I was already learning the word of faith. So when she would say, "Come," and I tell her, "It's not necessary." That was my opinion that time. And she would say, "I know you have prayed. Adura unpoj." Know what it means? Prayer is never, doesn't get too much. Prayer not get overdose. That don't worry. Now, I'm going somewhere. Is it good or bad? Let me tell you something. As a Christian, it's not good if you have understanding. No, it's not good. If you're a baby Christian, it will pass. Nobody has words more powerful than yours. That's where I'm going. Nobody has a mouth more powerful, unless you don't understand the authority that God has given you in Christ. That boy is your own. That girl is your own. You want to now drag him to pastors out to pray for him to go to school. Listen, if you bring your child to me to pray, I will pray. I don't vex you. I just know that in my mind, oh, you of little faith, move back, let me use my faith for your child. But if you had faith, that trip is not necessary. It's not a necessary trip. It is something you do yourself. God has given you that anointing. I won't carry my wife now to somebody to come and pray for me, bless my wife for me. What am I doing with these two hands? What did God give me for? Ask my wife when we got married. I said, that one outside. It's good though, but the real one, kneel down here. And it's from the scriptures. I found that the Bible says that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. I said, "Hey, this boy," in quotes now, "this man, his words are powerful with God when he's praying for those that God put under him." That trip, I'm not saying it's a bad trip, really. It's an unnecessary trip. That's a better thing. Is it good or bad? If you don't understand much yet, you're afraid. Good. Let somebody else help your faith. But really, I'm saying it's an unnecessary trip. You are the father. You are the mother. You know, we still practice this thing of delegating things to the pastor. The pastor is a teacher. It's not the prayer. Are you getting my point? Not the one who prays. He's the one who teaches.
supposed to teach you what to do. Now, that's what I'm doing. If you're listening to this, you're a parent, make it a habit. Some people, they've used their mouth. I understand why they have to go to the pastor. The mouth is too busy saying the other one. And since good water and bad cannot come from the same spring, the pastor is used to the good one. Me, the parent, I'm used to the bad one. There's one joke I saw the other day on WhatsApp. Sent me a video, small video. American dad versus Nigerian dad. Have you seen that? The man said, I know when you get to school now, you won't pay attention. You will be running up and down, running over. Don't pay attention. Come back here with failure. You will see what I will do to you. He said, come. Your mother will put jollof rice inside your bag. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Give it to all your friends. That's why you are thin like this. Come on, go to class, my friend. That's why you can't bless the child. People are too busy. That's why they have to delegate. Really, that's why we not delegate the job. I will insult you at home, tell you all your faults, abuse your mother in front of you. Then when it's time to pray for you, let's go and see Pastor Okemute. Yes. And the boy will have respect for the words of Pastor Okemute, because he has not heard Pastor Okemute insult his mother. He has not heard Pastor Okemute tell him how scattered he is. So when he goes, they say, oh yeah, Junior, bring your head. Pastor wants to pray for you. The boy will be blessed because he has faith. Let's raise our children to have faith in our words. We are their pastors. These pastors are our teachers. You're supposed to come to me, I teach you the word of God, and you go back home and apply it to your family. Don't give me the job of praying for your children and your wife. I wonder how pastors manage to live long. Do they live long? We should go and do statistics. So I don't think those guys can live very long. You pray for your own household. You pray for somebody else's household. You look after the church. You settle quarrels. Forget it. You can't live long. How are you going to manage it? I was reading Ben Carson the other day. In his book, Take That Risk, he said that the average... The Big Picture or Take That Risk, one of his books, said that the average American neurosurgeon lives 10 years shorter than the other doctors. He was trying to explain something, that they have to reform the system so they can train more neurosurgeons. I would say, what's the reason? The stress the American neurosurgeon carries is excessive. That's why Ben Carson had to retire early. At the age of early 60s, he had pulled out from medical practice. I think by the time I was 60, late 50s, man, stop working before you kill me for my mother. That's what stress does. Stress kills people. I studied because of my secular, what we call secular anyway, my work in the hospital and the university. I have to read a lot and all of that. Sometimes when I see the studies and my people are doing, trying to find out cause of disease, I say, you people are just fooling yourselves. This is not where to look. The major reason is a heart disease is because you eat egg, you eat cholesterol, you eat sugar. And you know Nigerians are believing, are hungry people believing that they shouldn't eat sugar. But that, any sugar, you say, better grab it and save your life. Listen, one man cracked a joke. He said, do you know what's killing you? You speak English. Now that one is a joke. Now what I'm going to say here is this, all right? Many of the things my people are researching into, I say, this is not what's killing people. Because, and why they make the mistake is that they don't look at the physical aspect of, they don't look at the spiritual aspect of things, they only look at the physical aspect. If you look beyond that, you know the major killers of people, number one, lack of thanksgiving. Yeah. And number two, carry much more load than God has apportioned to them. You're saving up for today for the money that you will spend in 15 years' time. That's why you will not live up to that 15 years. The Lord says, submission unto the day is evil thereof. So don't have any worry or anxiety about 15 years' time. Listen, if we sleep and wake up when God said we should be sleeping and waking up, you know, waking up before the sun comes out is not very good. Now, I have these things I say, people are wondering. The whole society makes us wake up too early. If you are waking up at night, it should be to give thanks. Pray. Read the Bible when everybody is asleep. But to wake up, guru, 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 guru. By the time your children wake up, you've knotted your tie. That's the problem of this life. Say, Pastor Mark, how do you know? It's in your scriptures, is it not? It is vain to rise up early and then go to bed late. And then eat whatever bread you get, the Bible says, is the bread of sorrows. You know, I digress from that point. People now want to kill the pastors. They give the pastor the job to pray for everybody, and the pastor too will agree. If you're a man of God, don't agree. Somebody has been your church for the last 1 year, then the scripture, now bring the children and say, ah, say, Mr. Danes, what are you looking for? I want to bless my family. I say, what is your work? Ask the man, what's your work? You brought them this. The time you spent driving here should have been laying hands on them one by one. Say, were you not in church last Sunday? Say, I was. I said, go and buy the tape, how to bless your children. You know, we have a series like that. Go and get it. Tell the man, go and get the tape, how to bless your children. Don't give me work. This I will not die now. Nobody will be blessing my children. It's true now. Don't kill me. You've been in this church for the last 1 year. You were not here when we're doing the series. You still bringing your children for me to bless. Say, listen, we are both children of God. Forget this pastor title. We are both children of God. I'm not your children's pastor. I'm your pastor. You are your children's pastor. I don't know why that is so strong in my mind today. Go and bless your family by yourself. See, all this baby dedication we do is good for us to let Brennan know that this child I'm dedicating to God. But the real blessing, when that child is born, Father, carry him. Carry her. Carry the child saying, hey, welcome to Nigeria or whatever country you are in. So you know why you were born here? You know why I didn't run letter skelter saying that you must be born in America? Wherever I am, you will be born there. Do you know why I don't care about where your mother delivers you? I'll tell you. Because the seed of blessing is spiritual, and I hereby pass it to you. The fact that you are my offspring means you're already blessed. He said, mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. I don't care where you are born. If they say, okay, just go born your child in America. First of all, just 50,000 naira, and I can easily afford it. The day if he's telling me, I'll carry all my children to the mall. We'll eat the expensive ice cream there. You know that ice cream that usually when you get there, all the babes are buying, the guys are behind frowning. One day my wife and I reached there, she said, look at the people. I said, they are all, can't say they are smiling. Have you seen any guy here smiling? They are all ladies, they are the ones smiling. Listen, I will carry all my children there and blow that 50,000 naira. So fly. If them, that's all it costs, not even $15,000. Say, why are you doing that? Say, it's a seed. People know how to plant correct seed, though. If you want to plant seed, that is the real seed of faith. Why are you doing that? I am showing God that I believe strongly that it does not matter what the natural nationality of my child is. First time my wife was going to deliver, the mother said that whether she would go and visit her sister. Where? That was in London. My wife was going to take the offer. I said, oh, why not? I mean, no big trip. And I said, when will I come back? Is it 2 months, they said, or 3 months? So my wife looked, wait. He said, my husband will not see his child for the first few months. Hey, no, now, you know, you'll still come back. My wife just said, mommy, I beg, forget that idea. Hey! My mother-in-law looked like these people are totally strange. That now I know, I'm adding my own words, now I know they really believe something. Because most people will chop off fingers for that opportunity. I just dismissed her and said, forget, I beg. Let me burn my pikin in Nigeria here. It is good. That's my faith. The day you're every one of them, I carry you and give you, I bless you. Every name that my children bear it was chosen as a blessing. It's a prophetic word. The last one, Victory, I love his name. They said, what is this boy's name? I said, his name is. Well, he has other names. Let me give you two of them. The main one, I said, his name is Victory over the devil, sickness, poverty, troubles, calamities, evil. I said, any work of the devil, that's his name. It's one name. So what's the short form? Call him Victory. Which is the first word. Do you know the Hebrew name for the book of Genesis? Genesis is Greek. That word we use, Genesis. For that book of Genesis, is Greek. The Hebrews don't have the name Genesis. The original Bible is not Genesis. The book is called In the Beginning. Why? The first three words were in the beginning. So when Jesus says, in the beginning, it was not so. What he was saying is, in the book of Genesis, you won't find it like that. So that's why I shortened my son's name also. The full name is long. It can't enter most registers. So we shortened it to Victory. I don't know why I'm so strong about that one today. Please, everybody here, go and get that message. How to pray for your children. Born or unborn, start blessing them now. That's not a pastor's job. The pastor's job is to do what? Teach. The Lord is good. Back to what we're saying. Oh, you know, every assignment God gives us, he always gives us an empowerment. So the Lord has sent me and his spirit. That's how it is. So if he says, be a father, he has given you the empowerment to do the job. Be a mother, there is an empowerment to do the job. What Paul just said to Timothy is activate it. Stir up the gift. All this teaching and talking we do is to help Christians stir up the gift. It's to help Christians stir up the gift. The gift to bless your family, your children, is with you. It's an anointing. That's why I tell parents, I'm talking about husband and wife matter now. When you marry, you are anointed to husband. You know what I mean? I just use husband as a verb now. You are automatically anointed to husband your wife. And wife, you need to provoke the anointing on your husband. Sometimes when I watch films, in my mind, I say, these people can't be blessed. My entire house, wife will walk up, hey, B, how was your day? And just walk up, hey! You can't be blessed. This is why the family is upside down. But they entered my house. My children were watching TV, were relaxing. Some of them came to give me a hug. Some sat down, oh, daddy, welcome, we're watching TV. Especially the bigger guy. I entered the room, sat down, and my spirit said, better cut bad habits now. So I went back to the sitting room. As all of you come, they stood up. I said, next time I enter the house, you will rise to say welcome. They said, yes, sir. I said, good. I went back inside. So, and really, the next day when I came, as I just raised it, I remember my daughter was, you know, stretched to kill. I think she was eating or something. Got up from the chair to say welcome. That's how you provoke an anointing. When I said to you, it should be well with you. That thing, choo, now laser anointing. Don't shoot onto your body. It shall be well with you. You know what you do? What you are doing there, you are showing honor. When you show honor, you receive the anointing. That's how it is. So the other day I was just watching the video. Oh, one eating, husband entered. I'll be, how was your day? This is why you are depressed. This is why you are anxious. Listen, you are supposed to provoke You activate the unction, the anointing, the gift that God gave to you. As a man in your house, you wake up at night, declare to yourself, I have wisdom to be the husband in this house. I have wisdom to lead everybody in this home. I have the anointing. And yet, as a wife, you wake up and say, my husband has the unction to give me direction. My husband has the unction to give me direction, to lead the home. Stop cooperating with the devil. They say, eh? I know. Anytime he say foolishness, eh? I don't know. Anything he's doing, just foolishness. And listen, Satan will give you 75 reasons why you are correct. There's only one reason why you are wrong. It's called the word of God. And what you are supposed to do is active. You know, people don't realize it, they want to walk according to how they feel. No, it's your job to activate what the word of God says about you. It is your job to activate what the word of God says about you. One of the things I realize, I fail once in a while in doing it, but I've realized that number one weapon of the devil in the home against a husband and a wife is a weapon of accusation. That's what I think. Good Christian man, good Christian woman, the only thing the devil can use to scatter them is accusation. And my personal experience is that the accusations are always correct, factually. Did you see that yesterday your wife took 16,000 naira and wasted it before the end of the day? Did you see it? They start calculating. I told you. She is very bad with money. I know. She's bad with money. Turns to the man, the woman. This man is very wicked. The other day, they did not leave you. He drove away and left you to find your way. You're supposed to go for a function together. And he left you to find your way. He will forget the fact that you kept him waiting for 2 hours first. Forget that too. He left you to find your way. And he says he loves you. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you're a fool. No, I can't believe it. After all, love must be shown in action. His action is not in keeping with love. Now, what I'm going to regard is that every accusation is factually correct. It's not as if the devil will now come and tell you lies. That you know who stole the meat in the pot? It's your wife. He won't tell you that kind of joke of a lie. Anytime you say get ready by 8, she will never be ready till 8:15. And she's wondering why you are making her hurry. Factual accusations. Better than mine. Now, you know why I'm emphasizing this factual? So how are you supposed to respond when it is fact? Are you going to, and this is a mistake a lot of people make, start arguing with the devil. And that's where you lose. If you want to be reasonable and argue common sense, you've lost the battle. When a spirit is using factual things to do accusation in your family, God didn't expect you to be reasonable. You know what he said you should do? It's simple. When he finishes the accusations, you just simply start, thus says the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. No, that one doesn't have any explanation. You can't argue against it. When they're giving you 100 reasons why your wife is bad, the brain agrees because the brain has to agree. It makes sense. It is that the heart, the soul of man that loves the Lord will not focus on what the mind, the brain agrees with. He focuses on obedience to the word of God. So it simply says, it is written, love your wife as Christ loved the church. You know, they came to Jesus, turn your stones to bread. These are how Christians respond. I don't like bread made out of stone. I don't like it. Sometimes it has sand inside. Sometimes it doesn't change completely. The last part will be stone. When you now put it into your mouth now, break your tooth. That's common sense. It doesn't work. You know what works? That's what Jesus did. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. There was no discussion as to whether it is reasonable under these circumstances to be eating bread made out of stone. The degree of efficiency of conversion of the spiritual power by which the stone will convert to bread, what if it does not finish? It might lead to appendicitis when you put, you know, all those stories unnecessary. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Bow to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. There's a new way to respond. I don't want the kingdoms. I like it like this. This is my poverty, just temporary. I don't want the kingdoms. That's a very wrong way to respond to the devil. Every response to the devil must be what? It is written. That's what, you can't argue against that one. In the same manner, 75 reasons why your husband is a mugu. How can you submit to a man like that? Please don't argue. Just simply take the word of God and declare, it is written, wives, be subject to your own husbands. It is written. It is written. It is not reasonable. It is written. It is not good, in quote, like it will help me. No, it is written. It's not what all my friends are doing. It is written. I hope you're getting my point. So how do you handle it? It's simply declare, it is written. I love my wife as Christ loved the church. It is written. I love my wife the way Christ loves the church. It is written. I love my wife the way Christ loves the church. In obedience to that word, I love my wife the way Christ loved the church. It is written. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I obey that word, and I love my wife. Just, you say, how many times? How many accusations did they give you? 75. So you are going to say your own 76 times. Every accusation, you respond with one word. It is written. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Therefore, I love my wife as Christ loved the church. This is not common sense. It's a spiritual battle. It's a weapon of the spirit. You're fighting. I went into that to explain, I know the point in which I went into that. I just remembered my point now. To let you know that everything God gives you in life, every assignment God gives you, he gives you the ability. The word, the prophetic word concerning the Lord Jesus, said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. That's how it goes. That's when he came, he said, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Because he can't send me to go and preach and not anoint me with his spirit. It's not possible. Unless I wasn't sent. So what's our duty? Activate whatever it is that God has placed inside you, which you detected by what he sent you to do. Am I a parent? Yes. That means I have the power to parent. Some people say, I don't know how to beat children. Better learn it. How do you learn it? Use the word of God. It is written. He that loves his child chastises his son. It's like that. It's written in the Bible like that. You don't need any... The word will give you ability. It's written. He said, the one that loves his son chastises him. So you repeat that scripture to yourself. Your boy misbehaves 8 times, you repeat that scripture 9 times. By the 10th time, you will have gotten the skill. How to apply godly discipline. And let nobody lie to you that the rod you use is your mouth is a lie. It's a physical rod. I'm just going to explain the fact that, listen, once the Lord sends us on an assignment, he gives us the ability. The Lord has sent me and his spirit. My emphasis in this portion of the message is we must activate that ability. You have a duty to activate it. Let me say to wives again, because they are the ones that have the strongest problem there because of the way society is. You wake up in the morning and start, you pray for your husband. Say, Lord, I am activating the gift of God over his life. He has the unction to give me direction. He has the ability. The wisdom of God is with him. That's activating something in your house. The wisdom of God is with him. He can lead me. He can make decisions for us. He hears from God in the name of Jesus. Listen, don't let things that God promised you miss out for this life. There's only one reason why I want to live to be 100 years old. Only one reason. Not because the life is so sweet. Sometimes when I see some fine countries, like one brother told me, he went to the queen, one of the queen's gardens in England. Sent me a message, he said, sir, I must go to heaven. He said, if earth can be this fine, curiosity alone, I want to go and see what God did in heaven. So I know heaven is fine. It's good. But one reason why I like the age of 100 is simple. There's a promise in the scriptures that says if you walk in the kingdom of God, at the age of 100, you die. Then you have died at the appropriate age. Anything below that, they will say a young man died. That's what the Bible says. That is all. I don't have any other. That's my only reason. There was one man I was discussing in my office today, and when I found out he was late, it pained me. Not as if he's a believer, but there's something I liked about him. I read his story when he was 99, and he was still giving lectures in universities. At the age of 99. I think it was 98th or 99th birthday. Okay, I think I read when he was 98, and they wrote about the lecture he was supposed to give on his 99th birthday. So I marked it down in my calendar that I would check when the man turns to be 100. But he died 6 months before his 100th birthday. It pained me, but remember, at the age of 99, the man was giving lectures. And not lectures, not stories. 80 years ago, we thank God. No. This man is a physicist. He will be discussing subatomic particles at the age of 99. I said, this is good. I'm talking about the fact that if God promises something in the world, don't let it slip by you. There's something Carnegie used to say, and that thing is such a blessing to me. He said that there are times he goes to meet somebody as a young pastor those days. He said there's a particular woman in mind, he had in mind. The woman was 70-something. And the woman was, she had cancer. And she had lived all her life as a Christian, been a minister of the gospel for a long time, and now she was seriously ill and she was going to die. So they came and said, he came to her, let's pray for it. The woman said, no. There's no need. I've lived my life, I've served the Lord, all of that. There's nothing, let me just die in peace. Carnegie said to her, listen, ma, no problem with dying, no. But let's get you healed first. Get healed on Monday, die on Tuesday. I have no problem with that. But let's just get you healed. Let's experience the power of God for divine health. So the woman said, no, let me die. The boy said, no, we are not going to allow that. You are going to get healed first. Then you can die the next day. We don't mind. They didn't let the old woman rest. Every day they will come with the Bible and be teaching her the word of God and praying for her, showing her scriptures until they convinced her to want to live. When she accepted, began to show her the word of healing and all of that. Prayed, the cancer ran away. Her strength returned. The woman became perfectly well. The last time he saw her, she was in her late 80s still preaching. That was about 12 years after. Now, why I like that story is that he said to her, I'm not saying you shouldn't die. I know you have lived a good life. You've raised your children. You have preached the gospel. You're looking forward to heaven. He said, but it's a promise in the scriptures. Let's enjoy it now. Are you getting my point? If you say God called you to a life of poverty, I have no problem with it. But let him bless you first, then give out the money. Then we'll know that you really believe. And you're not making excuses for your inefficiency, inability to tap from above, and not start hiding behind it. No. Let's enjoy what is promised. For me, my life is, God, please, anything that you plan, let it manifest. Let's not get back to heaven and say, back how far? Say, Nigeria was hard. I say, Lord, I don't want to hear that one. At all. Let's manifest the promises of God in this life. Let it show. Listen, anything God sent you to do, that's my emphasis. You have the ability. If the thing in your mind, you feel like it's a push of God, is for you to be an entrepreneur. That's not saying that I don't know how to negotiate. How can God have you as an entrepreneur? You don't know how to negotiate. Stop saying it. You know, they came to Jeremiah. God said to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. And the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. Everybody say after me, do not say,
I am a youth.
Now what I want us to say is, do not say.
Do not say.
Say it properly now.
Do not say.
Please turn to your neighbor.
Do not say.
Say it again.
Do not say.
Turn to somebody else.
Do not say.
Warn the person.
Do not say.
Good. Say, what shouldn't I say? I'll tell you. Stop reciting every excuse that explains why you can't do what God says you should do. Just don't say it. You know the one thing about God, he gives certain simple instructions. Like, don't say it. Don't say, I can't. Don't say, I don't know anybody. Don't say, I haven't learned it. Don't say it. Just shut up. Don't say anything. If you must say anything, one word. What is that word? No. One word. I say a word, a single word. What is that word?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Before I formed in the womb, I knew you. Amen. And you're wondering what he's talking about. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Amen. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Amen. Everywhere I send you, you shall go. Amen. And you're wondering, how am I going to get there? Everything I send you, say to you, say I send you to say, everything I command you, you shall speak. Amen. And you're wondering, speak to who? But that mouth, seal it. Do not say, I will not sell. Do not say, they won't listen to me. Do not say, it doesn't work. Do not say, economy is rough. Do not say, dollar is expensive. Just don't say anything. When it comes to things that are negative, just be looking. You won't say anything? No. Do you have anything to say? I have a lot of things I'm thinking, but none to say. Yo, you need to say something. Well, we shall come out on top. Amen. Everything will work out well. Amen. Those are the very, that's how Christianity is. There are some simple laws that we keep. One of them is, if it looks rough, don't say it. Stop making explanation. No, we can't do that. If we do this, no, it will not work. Just keep quiet. Why am I saying all of these things? Everything God has called you to do, every position in life he has placed you in. Let's forget this call for a moment. Yeah, because some people say, how do I know I'm called? It's an important question. How do you know you are called to be a wife? You married somebody. How do you know you are called to be a husband? They have agreed to marry you. That is a calling. Amen? What is a calling? I'll tell you. Your father decided that you should go to school. He didn't ask your opinion. He paid for JAMB form. You filled JAMB form and you've gotten admission. That's a calling. Do you get my point? You got a job. It's a calling. Let's get that one clear. Because some people with laziness, they say, this is not my calling. Most people tell you, this is not my calling. They are pure lazy. I didn't say all. I said what? Most. This is how you know something is not your calling. Do it well first. Do it very well. Then get tired of it. Then I know it's not your calling. But when they say, please sweep this gutter, I say, just feel small. Why can't you finish sweeping? It's not my calling, you know. That is laziness. Finish sweeping the gutter. Brush it well. You understand my point? When you finish, I say, are you sweeping the next one? No, I just want you to finish this one. I don't need anything in my calling. What's my calling? I should be cutting grass. That's better. If it's not your calling, this is how you know it's not your calling. Do it properly first. When you have done it properly, and you still don't want to continue doing it, then I'm beginning to suspect it's not your calling. I don't want to see, you know, I've seen too many lazy people telling me it's not my calling. A man came to me, bros, find me some money now. Came first time, help me with some cash. Another time, so one man answered, please, you're always broke. Let's help you get a job where you can do this. You have this skill. He came to me and said, this man said he can help me get this kind of job. He said, but you know what? God has not spoken to me to do that yet. I went to ask him, when did God speak to you to come and beg me for money? Because this is like the fourth, fifth time you've been begging me for money. When did he speak to you? The same disobedience you teach you asking for money, use that same disobedience to go and work. If God has not killed you all these days for begging, I can assure you of one thing. He won't kill you for working. This was a man who had skill. Let me give you an example. I'm just assuming that he's a very skilled carpenter, you know, something like he could make this before he said he was called to ministry. So a man said, look, I will help you get wood from my friend who supplies on credit. I'll get you jobs. Guys who want to make simple furniture. Make for them. You make some money. He said, that's not my... He said, God has not spoken to me to do that one yet. I never saw anywhere in the Bible where God spoke to Paul, go and make tents. Just made up his mind. He was a preacher. He said, during the day, most people have gone out. We meet in the evenings to preach. I'm here. Do you want me to be receiving an offering for those who don't understand why it is? Let me just join Ananias and Priscilla and Aquila. So come, guys, give me some work there. They pass some work down to him. The man went and making tents in the evening to go back to church and go and teach. So let's get that calling thing straight. Calling is anything that you have been called to do. Your father can call you. Once you have been called to do it, take it as calling. Excel in it before you decide that it's not the will of God. Please, I hope you get my point. Because that calling thing, people seem to forget what it is. You one day between you and your husband and prayer, you know, arrange, born four children. You give birth to four children. Do I need to tell you you've been called to be a mother to them? You are doing crusade all over the country and abroad. There's a calling. God, you know, there are things God doesn't talk to people about. Before you say God didn't talk to me, check whether it's natural. What I mean is this. This morning when I woke up, the Lord forgot to tell me to brush. Have you noticed that? He didn't tell me. He didn't tell me eat breakfast. The Lord forgot to tell me to have my bath. He forgot to tell me to dress up. But I did all of them. I didn't wait for him to speak. I didn't wait for him to speak. When my stomach spoke, I obeyed. One day my colleague said that, these days, I don't know, my stomach pains me. I said, it does. I said, when? He said, when I have not eaten. I said, my friend, it's called hunger. Doctor, you can't diagnose hunger. He said, chief, I said, look, it is called hunger. Must you give everything a big name? I said, these doctors are very funny. This guy is a consultant, though. After all you're learning, you don't even know hunger again. You want me to diagnose pyloric gastritis? That's what you want. Big name. I said, my guy, go and eat. If you tell me that after I eat, my stomach still pains me, then I ask you, what are you eating? I will settle that and not start checking. This is how people start taking medicine anyhow. Some people say, I'm always having headache. You go and see doctor. You wake up at 4 a.m., go back to bed at 12 midnight. It's only headache you're having. You will soon have eye ache, nose ache, mouth ache, neck ache, and die ache. You know they call die ache? Dead body, give my point. That's what I mean, die. The Lord is good. Oh God, I have a message for today. You are not letting me preach the message. I'll finish what I'm saying. Don't worry, I'll finish what I'm saying. The Lord is good. So the Lord didn't speak to me to do all of these things. Once my stomach spoke, I went and ate. When I needed to go out, I went to my wardrobe. I chose what I'm wearing and wore it. Look in the mirror. I look presentable. And I left the house. The Lord didn't say, Banky, today is a day of black. Thou shalt wear black to fit thy complexion. There was not one word from above. Before you say to me, God didn't say to you, ask yourself, is it natural? Is it expected? God has not told me to go and apologize. Proud, that's how proud people talk. God has not told me to give, stingy man. That's how you know them. If God has to open his mouth to talk to you to give, you get a problem. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear. So you know, I needed to emphasize that when you talk about this calling thing, because people say, yeah, it's not my calling. Listen, check. If the thing we are talking about is natural, a young boy leaves school, he's eating his father's pension money. You know, I've been telling you, different causes of laryngitis and sore throat. It can be an infection. It can be anything. But one common cause for young Christian men is eating their father's pension money. If your mother's pension money is what you are eating, your throat will pain you. And you can't rebuke it. It won't go away unless you go and walk and buy your own food and give to your mother too. Then all your neck problems will go away. If you finish eating every time your stomach is paining you and you're not working, I've told you the reason why. Your father is earning pension, he's used to buy food you are eating. The angels are watching you. First week is eating. Second week is eating. Third week you go. It's an angel. So boy, stop eating this food. What should I do? Go outside and do anything. That's not my calling. Sitting down at home is definitely not your calling. I hope I'm clear. Just felt like talking about that calling thing. Because I'm tired of Christians who are always waiting for the Holy Spirit to talk to them. Go and check who Jesus called, who was not busy. Even Thomas was cheating people when God called him. I mean, God didn't call Saul when he was sitting at home getting angry with the Christians. All the Pharisees that were angry with the Christians, like somebody said Gamaliel. Remember Gamaliel? Paul's teacher. David Paul said, God forgot the man. Why? Because the man looked and said, let's leave them. Let's be watching them. God didn't call that man. Paul that got up, Saul. Oh, sorry, what's his name? Saul. Saul got up and started persecuting the people because they called that guy. I like him. He's busy doing something. God looked at Peter. Follow me, I will make you... What did he say you make him? What? Why didn't he call him manners of men? Because if you are a fisher, you're a fisher. If you are catching men, you should be what? A manner. He called him according to what he found him doing. That if he was doing carpentry, he said, I will make you carpenters of men. Many people sit at home doing nothing and say, God is called. God hasn't called you. Don't fool me, my friend. One man came one day, said, I'm not happy. Told me all his life story. How he was in trouble here. God delivered him. Finally, he's jobless. One church was helping him. They now put him in a place where he'll be learning work. He said, I'm not happy. Later, I found out he's not happy. Lazy man can never be happy with hard work. He was talking as if that's not my passion in life. A lazy man can never be happy with hard work. For the first time in his life, they said, go and work. He told me, I'm not happy. And you know me, I thought the guy had a spiritual reason for not being happy. My spirit said, I shouldn't go today. Listen, if your spirit doesn't talk, let your head talk to you. They employed you at work. You need your spirit to wake you up to go to work. You know, people are funny. When I woke up this morning, my spirit didn't feel like going. Yes. You're a lazy man. Your spirit will never feel like doing anything. Oh, God. You know? Oh, God. Apostle, you know we're opening to the second portion of that portion of the Bible. Exodus chapter 20. That's what we said there. Eh? Didn't even know that we had said it. But you know, we have to minister to people. I went to all of you and to explain something. If God has called you to do something, he has sent his spirit with you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It is your duty, your responsibility to activate that spirit. If it doesn't feel like it's there, activate it. Like I used to say to my fellow students when I was a student on campus, I said, there's nothing like this subject is too hard. Once it's an undergraduate course, we can study it, we can learn it. We'll activate the spirit that's already inside us, the ability. When he said, I can do all things, yes, it's literally all things. Everything we need to do, we can do. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can do even things that people don't think you can do. I always like to give the story of Ekunet. What's Ekunet's name again? Strive Masiwa. I can raise $1.5 billion to do my business. And he did. I can do all things. I can do. God has placed a spirit so that you can do it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's a matter of fact. Anything that God has sent you to do, he has sent you the ability also. He just said, do what? Activate it. As a man, you can love your wife. As a woman, you can sub. It's not about whether it's sensible or not. It's a scripture. God doesn't give us commandments. He gives us empowerment as believers. When he says, take courage, it is I. It wasn't a word of advice. It was the release of the ability not to be afraid. It was the ability released so that when you see fear, fear will not be able to scare you. What he needed to do was say, amen. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
listen, let's leave it there. It's not every day we have to close so late. But let's just read that scripture for the sake of reading it. So that next time we know this is what we wear before we needed to help some people. In case you think your wife reported you, sorry, I didn't even know you quiet at home. And if it's the other way around, I really don't know. I just came to preach and this thing remained in my mouth. Remember, we have the power to bless our families. We said that at the beginning. All right, let's just read this one. Let's just have 20. I wanted to read this just to continue where we ended last time. Okay, the first three commandments, I went through it last time. The third one is the one that I was talking about, which was our basis for prayer last time. The Lord willing, we'll finish with that when we come back next time. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you, verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Second commandment says, you shall not make for yourself an idol, any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath, all of that. The third commandment is now in verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God for a vain thing, using the Young's Literal Translation. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name for a vain thing. Last time I explained that there are three commandments here which are thoroughly joined together. And you see, as soon as he was done with that, he went into another set of commandments, like talking about the Sabbath. But these three, he talked about the relationship with the person of your God and the making of idols. First commandment, there must be no other God. For example, Muslims worship Allah and they don't have an image of him. Are you getting my point? God said, don't follow them. All right? That was what he said. There are other gods, there are other religions that have gods that you don't have images of. He said, don't follow them. There must be no other God but me. Secondly, he said, this is your God that you are worshipping. The Lord your God, Yahweh or Jehovah, depending on how you want to write that name out in full. You must never make an image of him, an image of his angels, an image of any of those things that he's blessed you with. Don't make an image so that you won't worship those images. First commandment, no other God by any other name. Second commandment, this true God, don't make an image of him or any of his agents. And the third commandment is that you will get into the promised land. You will find the people have built beautiful temples. They already have images there that are so beautiful that you want to worship them. Do not sanctify their gods. What do I mean? Don't take the name of the Lord thy God and place it on a vain idol. I said to her last time, Christians are very good with doing that. We took the name of our God and placed them on vain festivals. That's how we came up with Easter.
That's how we came up with Christmas. That's a matter of fact, okay? And that was breaking the spirit of the commandment. And I went ahead to explain what we need to do is to ensure that in every circumstance of our life, in every situation, we place the name of God where it belongs. You must understand when we say God, it's not just the person we worship. That's the part of it many of us understand. But the source of life, the provider, the healer, that's what God is. All right? So it says that in your life, don't place the name of God on a doctor. Don't place the name of God on your office, your job. Don't place the name of God and place it on your connection. Don't place the name of God on the landed property your father bought, and all right, and you know you are going to inherit. Don't place the name of God on any of these things. How do you respond if your name is Peter? In the midst of calamity, in the midst of a storm, don't look at the storm and say you have the power to kill and to make alive. Don't do that. Even when you're on the storm, in the midst of the storm, you're on the sea, you're in the midst of the waves, remember that only God kills and makes alive. And that was why the Lord Jesus was not afraid of the storm. And that's why the storm was always afraid of him. Pilate came to the Lord Jesus. He said, do you know I have the power to condemn you or to keep you alive? Jesus looked at him and said, oh boy, you've gotten this thing wrong. All right? That power belongs to God. In effect, that power belongs to God. He had just placed you in this place for this season, for a particular reason. Now, I'm adding many words together. I lay down my life of myself according to the commandment of the God who has all the power. Pilate was afraid. Pilate said, let's release this man, let him go. Pilate said, look, listen, I don't want to have anything to do with it. That to let him know that Jesus died according to the commandment of the Father, not because Pilate had power. Listen, in the midst of adversity, that's what we need to do. Place the name of God where it belongs, on himself. And that's why he said, I am God and there is none else. Why does he say that? Because people often forget that he's God. So when we are praying, it's a pity we can't get into that now. I wonder if that's what we wanted to continue from today, but I believe the Holy Spirit wanted us to just instruct people in that area that we went. So that's what we began to do last time. We take different things and call God by his name. If I am sick, I talk to my body about who God is. Are you getting my point? I have talked to God about my sickness he has heard. Now, let's reverse the rules. Let's start talking to the body about who is God. Who is the healer? Who do we serve? We talk to it. I lose a job. You could cry all night because you thought that job is a source of life. But if the moment, in fact, not, you know, that's one thing about total faith. People sometimes want to have faith when there's trouble. You cannot have faith when there's trouble if you did not have faith when there was peace. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You can't have faith in the time of trouble if you did not have faith when there was peace. What you're supposed to do in the time of peace, is to exercise your faith. When the job was there intact, you were rejoicing in the job and feeling like you're better than other people. And you're driving to work, you're straightening your hair like this, feeling like it's a seed that I sowed last year. You know, that's one thing that kills Christians. They take the name of the Lord their God and put it on the offering basket. I planted my seed. As I was given the money, I said to God, this year. So as he's going to work, he said, my seed brought me this job. Be careful. There are things that we make God just be, he's been patient for a long time. But he has not deputized some of us to go and warn Christians, repent and be baptized. So do you know how I'm enjoying like this? Last year, I began to plant my seed. And I planted it heavy. This is the result. He has taken the name of the Lord and placed on his seed. When the man was getting, when he enjoying the job, he was eating the money all alone. That's another part of it. Flying all over the world, wearing the most expensive things possible. Chopping all, once he just goes to church, he's a Christian, so he just give God 10%. Say, God, now, that's a deal. You take care of the devourer so I can enjoy my 90%. You know, God is a mafia boss.
You pay him his protection money. And you can go wild with your 90%. That thing is so unchristian. I don't know how that doctrine lasted till today. I don't know where we manufactured it from. I've read a bit of church history. I don't know where it began. When the man had the job, that's what he did. Chopped all his money by himself. Then suddenly, you know, you can't have faith. The day they fire you, you will cry. You will cry. If you did not practice faith when you had the job, the day they lose it, faith will show up from nowhere. Listen, when you have peace, you must exercise faith. The man who has that job, what should he do? Quickly, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul said in verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. That's what I was talking about. Or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Let them fix their hope on God. Let them not put the name of God on their riches. Let them put their hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Remember, I said, instruct those who are rich not to do this. Anytime God says, don't do this, you know what he also does? He tells you, do this one. Flee youthful lust. That's negative. Pursue righteousness. That's how it is. That's what God, Paul, told Timothy. You know what God tells you? The way by which you run away from this is by doing that. That's how the commandments of God are. So in the same manner Paul wrote it here, don't be conceited or put your hope on the uncertainty of riches. Put it on God. How do you put it on God? In Acts 2, verse 18. This is a manifestation. Instructs them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Let me just stop here. When times are good, that is what a man, a woman is supposed to do as a sign that his faith is not in money, but faith is in God. We'll talk about that under total faith for finances. What I'm bringing out here is this. So when a man loses the job, it's not to look at the job and say, my own has ended. The job was never the supplier. He just rejoices. The Lord gave. The Lord has taken this one away. This is how we obey the spirit of the third commandment. That's what I was teaching last time. So what do we do? How will Peter survive that storm? Is to take his eyes away from the storm and let the storm know that you can't kill me. You are not the source of my life, and you are not the taker. You can't take it. That's the thing. So, and how do you do that? You continually, maybe, I don't know, I plan to get there on Saturday. I don't know whether I'll be able to read it. Let's see what the Holy Spirit will allow us to do. But there's a way we talk all the time. And what I'm emphasizing is how do we call God? What name, what do we place, how do I say it? That vain thing, how do we avoid placing the name of God on there? I was telling my wife something the other day. You know, many Christians, this is how they pray. Lord, I bless Nigeria, but I love America. That's how many Christians pray. Lord, bless Nigeria, but I love America. Deep inside their hearts, the name of the Lord is American. That is God of Yankee. Are you getting my point? Yes. Listen, these are the things you do as believers. You exercise yourself in those things. You deliberately, because some of these, they are locked deep inside. You pull them out from wherever they are and place it down. Say, God, this I must go abroad before I prosper. It's hiding inside my heart. Remove it. I must go get to Lagos before doors open. Lord, remove it. I remove my eyes from those things. I place the name of my God where it belongs, on Him alone. So in the midst of storm, I wake up every day, I'm declaring, the Lord is my supplier. 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 My Lord is my supplier. My job is not my supplier. There's an epidemic, I'm declaring, the Lord is my healer. The Lord is my shield. It's my protector. It's my high tower. That is how we Christians respond. Remember, I said, pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to get tired. That is, it's a habit to form 24 hours of the day. You wake up at night, matters come to your mind, you declare it again. Was it here I shared something with you? Was it my wife and I sharing it yesterday morning? When I was talking about putting pressure on the word. Huh? Okay, was yesterday we were talking about her own. I was talking to one sister when she told me that she read for Kenneth Copeland. Said, Kenneth Copeland, we're talking about buying things and all that. Kenneth Copeland said, you don't have to buy. You believe God for. So that anytime there's an issue, he puts pressure on the word. That thing struck me. And since that time, it's been my habit. If I feel like I would need money, there's a scripture, Isaiah 6 verse 12. Not that my scripture. That's my pressure point. I lean on it. Father God, you say you will send prosperity to me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I receive supplies from it in the name of Jesus. Prosperity flows towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations flows towards me like an overflowing stream. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Let me say something to you. Do that even in the time of peace. Very important. We'll talk about faith for finances. Total faith for finances. The mistake we make a lot of times as Christians is that in the time of peace, we don't have faith. They want to now collect it in the time of trouble. People are seriously sick. That they want to be believing God. When they were healthy, they said that I must not. You know, listen, my health depends on whether I eat sugar or I don't, or how many rounds around Okwara Square I do. When they are healthy. When they're supposed to study in the morning, declare the word of God, they've left the whole family to go and jog. The wife said, let's watch Pastor Banker at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. I have jogging club around Okwara Square. Then finally, he goes one day, he feels a lump in his stomach. Doctor said they will check tomorrow whether it is cancer. Starts declaring the name of Jesus, I'm healed. How can you be healed in the name of Jesus? You'll be keeping healthy by jogging. Am I saying jogging is bad? No. Believe me, I believe in physical exercise. My favorite sport is not this running up and down thing. It's carrying iron. I love metal. I love it. So I have nothing against it. My own didn't start today. My own started on the days of Oliver Orok and Iron Barbas, Los Angeles, Olympics. We used to go behind the house, put pipe inside block and be carrying. When my mother is coming, we'll drop it and disappear. Because my mother didn't want us to enjoy ourselves and didn't want us to become too thick. So it's good. I have nothing against it, all right? It's good. However, it's not the source of health. It is not the source of health. I remind myself all the time. I used to get up early in the morning to disappear from the house. Then one day I said, this is the best time to study and meditate. That's the only reason I stopped. Not because of laziness. It is not when there is trouble. Suddenly faith will show up from nowhere. No. You must have your faith even when there is peace. Let's rise to our feet. Let's go home. You must have your faith even when there's what?
Peace.
Even in the time of peace. Let's quickly declare the word of God again. I believe somebody was helped today. If you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
This next time we'll come, we'll just go straight. That was what I actually hoped to do today, but we just have to keep obeying the Spirit, all right? All right, let's declare it again. We did it at the beginning when we started praying. Let's just do it one more time. At the start of prayers, we declare the righteousness of God as follows. One, two, go. I enter into the presence of the Father as a renewed child of God. I have been made righteous by the power of the blood of Jesus, and I give him the praise for it. I haven't come in the power of the good works I have done. I have come only because of the grace and mercy which I have through Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for loving me. I thank the Lord for washing me clean. I thank the Lord for making me worthy to stand before him. I have come in the company of my brethren who are also washed, who are also clean. We are a company of children of God who are declared righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Let's begin to call God by his name again as we depart from here. Let's declare that he is the protector. I feel like you're saying that. Nigerian police is not the protector. The security fence around your house is not the protector. The CCTV is not the protector. Your watchfulness is not the protector.
You can't even watch your children when you are not there. All right? So begin to declare. Say, Lord, I acknowledge you today as a defense, as a guard, as a watchman around my household, around me. I lift up your name and I declare that in the name of Jesus, you are the one that watch over us. Our help comes from you, the Lord who does not sleep, who does not slumber. We call you the name. You are God the keeper. You are our shield. You are our buckler. You are our shield. You are our defense. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so you have surrounded us. Declare it. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, the Bible says, so the Lord surrounds his people. So the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Say, Lord, you are my deliverer. You are the deliverer of my household. You are my deliverer. You are the deliverer of my household. Just call him that name. When we talk about the name of God, please listen to our series, The Seven Names of God. That is not just a name that, okay, Jehovah Jireh. That's one name. His names are innumerable. Call him an English name. Don't call him a Hebrew name. Call him an English name. What is his name? Father of my Lord Jesus, my Redeemer, the forgiver of my sins, the one that washed me clean. I say you that I believe in, the Father of my Jesus, you are my protector. You are my defense. Call him that name. You are the one that protects me round about. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. Because of you, it will not come near me. Because of you, Lassa fever cannot come near me. You are God the healer. You are God the healer. You are the one that's healing me, that has healed me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. You are the one that has healed my children. You are the one that has healed my household. You healed my husband. You healed me. You healed my wife. You are the one that perfects everything that concerns me. It is not the blood pressure kit in the house. It is not the medicine that people give. The doctor is not God. God is the doctor. The doctor is not God, but my Father, he is the doctor. He is the Lord that healed thee. That's what he said. You are the one that healed me. You sent your son to the cross, and on the cross, he took away my sicknesses. On the cross, he took away my pains. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, I have been healed. Declare it. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. Whether I feel sick right now or not, it does not matter. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. I want to put emphasis on those who are feeling well. You need to declare it. You must have faith in the time of peace if you are going to have faith in the time of trouble. You must have faith in the time of peace if you are going to have faith in the time of trouble. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have healed me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Lord, I thank you because you have healed me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet by the power of the blood of Jesus. My health is not in my genes. It is in the blood of Jesus. It's in the sacrifice of Jesus. My health is not in my diet. It's in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When he rose up from the dead, that same spirit that raised him up from the dead is in me right now. That same spirit is giving life to my mortal bodies. My health is not in my diet. It's not in the fact that my father lived long or my mother lived long. It's not my heredity. It is not my natural ancestry. That is not what matters. It is that Jesus died and he nailed my sickness to the cross. Jesus died. He nailed my pain to the cross. Jesus died. He nailed premature death to the cross. Jesus died. He nailed the susceptibility to every disease to the cross. Jesus died. Therefore, I call him the healer. Father, I call you the healer. Call him that name. Call him. You need to call him a name. Now, Father of my Lord Jesus, you are the healer. Jesus, you are the one that took away my pains. You took away my sicknesses. You took away my lack. You took away my troubles. You took away my poverty. Thank you for your grace. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus. He was rich, but for my sake, he became poor, so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. I declare that I am rich because of him. I am not rich because of my certificate or my connections. I am rich because of him. So therefore, I call you the one that made me rich. I call you the one that made me rich. You are the one that solved all my troubles. Yes, God, I lift you up. I look at you as the source of my supply, the source of my life. You are the one that makes prosperity flow toward me like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You are the great provider, the Lord my shepherd, the Father who watches over me, the Father who supplies my need more than he supplies the needs of the birds, the Father who supplies my clothing more than he dresses up the flower of the field. You are watching over me. I call you by that name. I call you by that name. You are the one that's opening my doors, not human beings. You are the one that sends help to me. Send us help from above, David said, for vain is the help of man. You are the one that sends me help, and I do not depend on the help of man. I depend on you alone. I depend on you alone. I call you by your proper name. I refuse to place your name on a vain thing. I refuse to place your name on a vain thing. The doctor is a vain thing. My office is a vain thing. My business is a vain thing. People I know, they are vain things. I place the name of the Lord on him alone, and I do not place it on a vain thing. I exalt you in my life. I look at... I want you, as you are praying, visualizing something in your mind. Look at your office, look at your business, and say to them, you are not God. It's very simple. Just look at those people that you have been looking forward to, looking up to. Say, you are not God. Your father is a multi-millionaire in your heart right now. Look up at him and say, Lord, I thank you for my father. But daddy, you are not God. Look at every investment he has made because he loves you as his child and is leaving things for you. Thank God for him. Thank God for the things he has done. In your heart right now, look at him and say, daddy, thank God for your life, but you are not God. Land that you are living for me is not God. God will make me abound in everything that I do. In the name of Jesus. Look at your office. Look at your business. God has given you $1 million from there. $5 million. Money. You built a house. But say, listen, you are not God. You are not God. You are just the instrument of God. I declare that my salary is not God. I declare that my employer is not God. I declare that my business is not God. God alone is God, and I lift him up. I lift up his name. I say he is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. If you're blessed, they give me an amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I just like prophesying to you. God will give you pastors after his heart.
Amen.
And they will feed you with knowledge and with understanding.
Amen.
The quest of their heart will be to fill your heart with the wisdom of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will give you pastors after his heart.
Amen.
That will feed you with knowledge and with understanding.
Amen.
This country, Nigeria, the church of God in Nigeria, I prophesy to you.
Yes.
God will fill you with laborers because the harvest is ripe.
Amen.
And he will give you pastors after his heart.
Amen.
They will feed you with knowledge and with understanding.
Amen.
He will raise them up from the east,
Amen.
From the west,
Amen.
From the north,
Amen.
From the south,
Amen.
From every corner, from the center, God will raise them up.
Amen.
And they will feed the people of God with knowledge and with understanding.
Amen.
Like Apostle led us in prayer at the beginning, he said, if it is fear that is hindering them, we say to them, receive courage.
Amen.
Take courage.
Amen.
Take courage.
Amen.
Take courage.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. One, to let us go. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.